He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. In the name of Jesus, amen. Easter, you know it like the back of your hand. You know it all so well, and so well it knows you. It's kind of like a book that you don't even have to open to know its script of salvation. It's all so familiar. The early morning visit of the women, Peter's sprint to the tomb, Mary's encounter with the risen Lord. The early morning walk of the resurrection narrative seems as familiar as the daily route that you take with your best friend. And sometimes even the empty tomb can feel as exciting as staring inside an open garage door. And whether it is Matthew's sleeping guards or Mary's mistake about Jesus the gardener, those involved in the resurrection account appear as predictable and cheery as the clerks at Hankerson's Bakery, who are after my own heart, by the way, and stomach. But one thing that we often miss about Easter is this: that Easter begins in a place where nothing seems possible. Nothing. In darkness and in death and in weeping. And so you must first look into the night to find this eternal Easter day. The resurrection of Jesus, as you know, takes place under the cover of night, as the Father raises His Son from the grave beyond the gaze of human eyes. Easter sunrise is when women are weeping and shaken men couldn't find the body of the dead Jesus. The grand promise, the fulfillment of the entire Holy Scriptures emerges in the hours of darkness. Easter, like the Passover, so long ago in ancient Egypt, rises in the blood and the tears and the screams of the night. For death is slain and overcome by the blood and death of the firstborn Son of the Father, that spotless Lamb of God who sets you free from the captivity of sin and the grave. When you really consider Mary this morning, you would see that the tomb for her was a dark and open wound. And the displaced stone, it only added to the mystery of that mournful morning. I have often wondered what kind of Sabbath day Mary observed the day before. Surely it doesn't seem like it would have been a day of holy rest, of expectant jubilation, of singing that sin and death have been laid low by Jesus Christ in the grave, even as Jesus Christ is gloriously arising from His grave. I often think that more likely Mary spends her Sabbath in Sheol, in hell, in hell's unrest, in grief's relenting grip, in flashbacks of sighs and groans and of hammers and nails and blood and thorns and of that final breath that ended all hope as He bowed His head and handed over His spirit. Perhaps grief melted into hot anger. The sweet revenge plan had plotted itself against the Romans and the grand Sanhedrin who had committed such gruesome act. Perhaps the mixture of sorrow and rage drifted heavenward to the very one who loved her and had saved her, who was at least for a time, her hope, or so she thought. "Could you not wait with me 1 hour, you said, Jesus? Could you not walk 1 mile more with us, we said. Only 1 more mile, Jesus, and you would have been safely in the desert. But you let this happen. You and your father. Why?" The mystery of Good Friday bleeds into the mystery of Easter morning. For Easter is no more understood than Good Friday, even if it's far more grandly attended by the masses. For Easter is ultimately received by the ear. Easter is received by the promise of the word that you are assured that you are not alone. His eyes are always upon you. His hand will never let you perish. And though your eyes, like Mary, are drenched with tears, his eyes see clearly you. Perhaps bowed down and grieving. And in his love, he stoops down into your flesh and he raises your flesh. For as the Father loved the Son, so the Son has loved you. The Son has loved you all the way unto the end and into the beginning that has no end. For as he was raised, he will raise you. In an instant, in the time that it takes you to bat your eyelid, out of the grave you shall spring. Out of the dust of Adam you will rise as sons and daughters of the Christ, the new and better Adam. And you shall stand in the light of the sun, utterly pure and clean, as bright as the sun. But again, we return to Mary. For Mary, this bright sun and his promises of new life still remained darkened by the mystery of his death and the mystery of his missing body. Through the tears, the sniffling, the red eyes, Mary stoops down to look into the tomb. Sitting where her Lord had lain were two angels. Seeing her distraught, they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, I struggled with this, because this may seem, as it did to me, like a downright insensitive response to a woman who had just suffered grievously. But on further examination, no doubt she is still in the throes of painful torture and grief, and this question does again seem incredibly clueless on the part of the angels. Why are you weeping in a cemetery? But these angels, you must understand, are asking the question from the reality and of the joy of the resurrected Lord. And they're speaking this to a woman who, in her grief and uncertainty, still judges everything from the perspective of death, whose entire life is now clouded with tears and nights of affliction. All she can mutter in response is this: "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." All of a sudden, in a moment, in the bleak darkness, in the agony of grief and loss, and through the tears, Easter stands before her. Yes, Easter is seen through the tears, and the tears are wiped away by Easter. because Easter, you see, is the one who calls you by name. Mary, 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 it's me, Jesus. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards and secret places that you know, may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, and I call you by name. She recognizes her Lord in the speaking of her name. And she responds, Rabboni, teacher. You can imagine the sigh of relief. And that sigh of relief gives way to faith. As faith confesses, yes, through the tears, in the midst of unbelief, what she could never tell herself. The dead God has arisen unto new life. Jesus is raised by the glory of the Father, and in him she and you and I walk in newness of life. Because you do not go to Easter. Easter goes to you. Easter is not a day that you simply remember. It's a day that you are born into by the water and the blood that has cleansed you and has called you by name and joined you to his eternal name, Jesus. For all this gift, all this life is yours, even as you struggle to confess this through tears and suffering and loss. So Easter is one who calls you by name, and you hear his voice, but the familiarity of Easter doesn't bother you. For you are his sheep, and you love to hear the voice of your shepherd. Especially in the nights of affliction, especially when you are lost, especially when you don't know where he is. And what comes to your comfort and is your comfort is that well-worn path of crucifixion and resurrection. And you know what? It doesn't bore you. For his testament of love and forgiveness is a joy to open, for it opens the grave that has shut you in. And the predictability of the resurrection story, if read through the tears and the grief and the agony and the death of this life, is anything but predictable. Yes, Easter begins in a place where nothing seems possible, but Easter ends in a place where everything is possible. Even the night of death cannot erase the joy of the resurrection sunrise. So, like Mary, you who come in the early dark morn, weighed down perhaps by burdens too heavy to carry, you who look intently for hope yet only find despair, you, the weeping one, are surprised by the joy of Easter. Easter finds you, you do not find Easter. And Easter declares to you that the worst that you have done in this life and the worst that has been done to you in this life is not the reality that shall endure. Because what endures is Jesus, is the love of the Father for his wandering and weary children. The future is joyful, for Jesus is your future. For there is no tragedy that Jesus cannot redeem. There is no loss that Jesus cannot return. There is no pain so deep that he didn't bear it on the cross. For Easter happens everywhere. And every day you wake up as one baptized into his name. For in him you are not walking towards death and the grave, but traveling towards a greater life and in eternal light. This realization, this comfort, leads you to not hold so tightly to the past, to the memories, to what has been, For Jesus buries your unfinished life in his finished life. And in his death and resurrection, you are given new life. Easter sunrise, in a childlike way, giggles and smiles with joy, even as we go to the tombs of our losses and to our dead. Take heart, my dear children, this Easter sunrise, for in Jesus, death is becoming a cradle by which Jesus is rocking the whole world unto new life. All things are new in Jesus. Every single blessed, unexpected morning is the first day of the new creation that has no last day. He is risen, and this is our only hope, our only comfort, and our only joy. And it is yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen.